to all of those of you listening at home right now, welcome to the Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast.
What's up?
My name is Daniel. I am your Amankan Mail. I wave the banner and sing the songs. And I am joined by my two illustrious co-hosts.
I'm illustrious now. You know me. My name is Josh, and I am your Sorovan Hale, bringing you the sweet, sweet, soothing sounds of lightning.
And you'll never see me coming.
And I am your other host, Andrew, the Bajan Mahel, with the white Focus on the Flame t-shirt.
Yeah,
that luckily my wife Kim doesn't continuously show my nipples through the shirt, apparently. You just noticed that.
Maybe you're just really excited to be wearing the shirt.
Get them nips.
Maybe, I mean, certain things happen when you focus.
That's what?
We're getting bombed! Oh my god.
What just happened? I was uninformed of this occurrence.
Hello.
Okay. Nobody tells me.
I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't wash my hair or anything.
Me neither. I've been doing yard work today.
Nice.
Awesome.
Y'all weren't supposed to be informed.
Surprise!
I like the surprise. This is freaking excellent. Yeah,
so you remember how I said I really needed us to record Saturday because I'm going to be super busy next week and not able to do anything.
It's my fault.
Yeah, that's a complete lie. It's to bring.
I see.
Damn it, Amber! How dare you surprise me like this?
I'm glad you're actually surprised because Tracy and I thought that maybe we might have made an oopsie.
By which she means me. That's
true. Nope.
She's being really nice. It was my fault. She was like, by the way.
Hey, I'm just gonna here take a credit for one of Josh's mistakes here because we're just all taking credit for everybody else's.
Please.
Hi, I'm Andrew, this. And I'm gonna lie to you about needing to record this week at a time because it's actually for somebody else. And I'm Tracy, and I'm going to go ahead and make a mistake that Josh and Daniel aren't going to even notice, and then Amber's going to take credit for it later.
Okay, so I got to ask, so we Thank have you. Surprise guests. Do we have a surprise topic as well?
Ooh.
Nope.
I don't think so. I thought it was.
Okay. Okay.
I guess the question is, make sure. Tracy and Amber, have you been given the topic? Or
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure.
That flow of information went the other way.
To you guys.
Yeah, that flow of information went the other way around.
We actually talked about the idea of like putting together topics or like asking people to put together topics for us that we can just randomly pick for an episode.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be really funny to just like on the fly try to figure out what the fuck we want to talk about. I think that'd be really fun.
I don't know if you know this about us, Amber and Tracy. You probably do, seeing as how you've worked with us a couple of times, but that's like every week.
Mm-hmm.
We did that when we started. It was always like hop in, take the first 5 minutes to be like, hey guys, what are we talking about? And Josh had a list of just topics that were just like,
good job, Josh.
Well,
I don't anymore.
I was gonna say yes and no.
I passed that mantle on to Andrew, and now it's me going, what are we talking about?
We've already introduced who we are.
Yeah.
Most people should know who both of you are, but as is tradition, go ahead and tell everybody hi and what you do and where you can be found on the internet.
Hi everyone.
Hi everybody. Hi. Do you want to do this? Do you want me to do this?
Go for it.
Okay, cool.
Daniel left. So he's like, I've seen enough.
He's like, I've been on the road to Tar Valon. I really could care less. Thanks, Daniel. You're the best.
Incorrect.
is correct. Oh, I was flipping you off while I was saying it. Don't you worry. All right. This is actually exactly who we are.
Yes.
So Amber and I do a podcast together called The Road to Tarvalen. We have had fun bouncing around and doing like various topics, but right now we are doing a recap reread of Eye of the World. We actually started with New Spring and we still come back to it all the time because it's just such a lovely book.
I see Andrew is like looking around abashedly.
I am tale of this book.
Sorry, Andrew. Every time it gets brought up, I'm like, sorry, Andrew.
Oh, it's fine. I love it.
Sorry.
I love that one of our patrons did a spoiler warning that straight up called his ass out.
It does. Mm. Yeah.
It I like stings that one. Every time.
It works. Great. Because when
you
I
may
finally...
find yourself promising to read New Spring and then never getting around to it.
Well, it works out because whenever I do eventually read it, we'll just get registered nerd to re-record that part to say promising to shave your legs and never ever doing it.
Ooh!
Ooh!
So
it's gonna happen.
To be fair, there was currency exchange out. For the leg shave. There was no
just
currency exchange for me to read.
Just to the calf, right?
It was just to the calf, but the longer he waits, the further up it goes.
Calves. Hashtag turnt calves.
It keeps that. It raises happening. A.
It's going to happen.
He's at mid thigh right now.
Yeah.
There's so much happening right now.
Don't worry. There's a section in the middle.
Yes.
There's a section in the middle.
Thanks so much for coming to the Black Tower today.
Sure. You guys are awesome. Detoured.
A little bit. I'm talking about my legs.
Yeah. It is
the
a
truth.
Little bit.
The truth.
Do
topic.
We ever have you guys ever decided from what direction you guys are actually going to Tarvalen?
No.
Okay.
It says road to Tarvalen.
The yeah. joke is that all of our maps. Going to. Yeah. The joke is all of our maps are from before the breaking, so yeah. we've been just very confused.
Coming from Shara. And you're just you're literally just going around Randland.
They're going the long way around.
It's a spiral mm-hmm. pattern. We're hoping that by mm-hmm. the time we spiral through the Westlands, we'll get to Tarvalen.
I like it.
Well, see, it's like in North Carolina.
It's not the destination, journey. It's the journey.
Yeah. That's right.
It's like in North Carolina, all roads lead to Raleigh. Georgia, all roads lead to Atlanta. You just keep making turns, and magically, one day you find yourself back in the capital.
Do you know the way to San handy. Jose?
No.
Absolutely not.
<Mm-mm>.
West.
Not as much as I got. I go west until I hit water and then figure out if I need to go north or south.
That's right. Accurate.
So what is our topic today?
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the topic?
Actually,
I'm excited.
Topic, again, speaking of spoiler warnings, we don't necessarily need to play the one that we mentioned, but we do need to give the people some protection. We do need to make sure that nobody gets spoiled when they should not. So we should throw on some full series spoilers for this particular
episode. And for this one, we're going to go to the sexiest chef in Randland. Yes. It's not Randland. The third best swordman in Malkir. Rob of Malkir Talks. Take it away, Rob.
Welcome to the Black Tower. This is your spoiler condom. Mm-hmm. If you have not read the complete works of Robert Jordan, The Wheel of Time, books 1 to 14, and also New Spring, big bad book of white art, and The Companion, you are at risk of being spoiled. Spoilers come with side effects. These side effects may include headache, nausea, vomiting, death.
Yes.
Dizziness,
I'm sorry. Yep.
Vaginal or penile eruptions and ejaculations. Dysentery. Cardiac arrhythmia. Mild heart explosions. Varicose veins. Darkened stool. Darkened souls. More vomiting. Arthritis. Hemorrhoids or diabetes, virginity, mild discomfort,
that's my favorite one,
vampirism or werewolfism, gender in a globe of whole planets. Spontaneous dental hydroplosion, sugar highs, even more vomiting, or maybe
just a
mild rash. If you cannot deal with
or a road rash, as we've
please them now, for fear of spoilers, you have been warned.
Can I just say, Andrew, at the very beginning of this, when it started, you actually did a great Rob impression with the it was very Rob. Rob, you'll need to actually watch just the beginning of this.
I can't do it.
Right before the spoiler warning to see Andrew's impression, because it was spot on.
I have to bring it down a little because mine is a little like too crazy. I just.
Oh yeah. Okay.
that's the help? Like you just said what to me look just.
That's like the Rock.
It really is.
It's like the opposite of like every time somebody goes crazy in anime. You know, you always get the forehead like super zoomed in, distorted look. I just go the other way.
It well, has I mean, about the same effect. Get...
The beard is just the most important part of it.
That's the threatening part. I'm pointing at you twice with my two longer sections of the beard.
There you go. There you go.
And your steely eyes.
That's right.
And your steely hands. Yes, that's good. Okay. All right. What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Let's do this.
Yep. Now that we've given people the protection that they so desperately need to make sure that they don't catch anything from us, like road rash or black tower taint.
Or vomiting and more vomiting and then even
or virginity.
Or virginity.
That would be terrible.
Well, you got your road rash on my taint. How does that even work? You got your taint on the road rash. No.
I think my favorite part is the
terribly painful.
If we currently have gender inequality for the whole planet,
it means too many people have been spoiled.
Should we actually just spoil more people? Maybe it'll have the opposite effect.
Yes, let's spoil everyone.
Couldn't
you think
hurt.
I'm kidding? Wouldn't that be nice? Oh,
maybe not. We spoiled all the people in the world.
What kind of spoiling are we talking about? Are we going to send them fuzzy slippers, or are we going to ruin the series for them? I think that's important to define.
We're going to send them fuzzy slippers with spoilers in them.
Well, I mean, if our Patreon makes it to like 6 billion people,
by the way,
Egwene
dies. That's what the spoiler
is.
Oh my god, just like crystalline slippers and be like, this is what Egwene looks like now, bitch.
No, that segment is a true roller coaster because you get the very high of Gawain dying and then the very low of Egwene dying.
It is.
It's like, oh, thank god, finally. Oh,
that's the one episode topic. That's the one big spoiler I got. Episode topic, dry washes hands like seven ball work.
Transition in some ways.
Did you know that the Black Tower Podcast has its very own website? No? Well, then make sure you head on over to www.blacktowerpod.com for even more Black Tower Podcast tainty goodness. On our site, you can find all of our social media links conveniently located towards the bottom left if you're on computer. There are links to the Facebook page, our Twitter, our YouTube, and our Instagram. So you can keep up to date with us by finding all of our social media there. Also on our website, you can find a link to the forums that we have, where we have all kinds of discussions and, as Morshadi has done plenty of times, run naked through the forums. No worries, there's no pictures. We turned off the cameras for that. You can find links to Black Tower Podcast merch, both on New Creations by Jen and from Spreadshirt, where you can find any of our designs that we've ever put out, and you can go and get yourself whatever kind of merchandise you want, be it shirts, glasses, aprons for cooking, bags, hats, buttons, anything that you want, you can find in between the two merch shops that we have. Website also has a very quick and accessible link for our Discord, where you can come and join all of the fantastic Tainty discussions that we have in our Discord server. We do have sections for spoiler and non-spoiler content, so you can come and enjoy something for you if you have finished a series, or something for you if you haven't finished a series. Another key feature is our Dragonsworn On Demand section, where you can automatically see the most recent 5 videos from our YouTube that will play on an automatic playlist for you on the website. A quick button to get to our YouTube there as well. And you can just listen to the most recent 5 episodes that we have posted on Podbean. If you're curious about events and things we have coming up, we also have the Black Tower calendar, where you can go and look and see when we generally do our live Patreon recordings, when our episodes go live, and any events and things that we have coming up that we can put on the calendar. A quick link to our Patreon, where you can join and get access to all kinds of different content, including pre-recordings, and depending on the tier, early access to episodes, shout outs, all that kind of fun stuff. And of course, we will update the Patreon whenever we do have the updates ready to go live. We are still working on that. That is coming as of right now. Make sure you head on over to our website, where you can literally get access to anything that we have and we put out.
We are talking about the occult in the Wheel of Time. Now, this is a little bit interesting because in our world, since we do not currently have something that is, you know, the one power or sort of, you know, true magic or anything like that, basically anything to do with magic in some ways is occult.
Yeah.
But in the Wheel of Time, there does need to be a little bit of a separation because occult is more than just magic, at least in the world of the Wheel of Time.
I thought we were doing the White Cloaks next month.
No, that's occult, not occult. But, there was part of me that thought that the topic might give away that maybe Andrew didn't think of this. Because I didn't know how much Daniel would believe I thought of the idea of occultism in the Wheel of Time.
So, Andrew, Daniel, did it give it away?
I love you, and I love that you think that. And that you think so little of yourself that you couldn't come up with
that topic. You have no idea.
I want to tell you right now, Andrew, I believe in you. I think I absolutely thought that you had just come up with that topic and had just been like, hey guys, I think this would be really cool to talk about.
Well, this time your faith was misplaced. This was all road to Target.
Apparently.
Because I'm really good at planning surprises and getting guests on. And kind of bad at like figuring out what we're going to talk about. I'm pretty sure every guest we've ever had can say, yes, they've asked me to be guests. We didn't know what we were talking about until like a week or two before. Except for like maybe 5.
Occultism in the Wheel of Time, like, to me.
Yes, this is.
Well, should we frame what occult, like when we say occultism?
Yeah, let's frame it.
I would like to do that.
Yes.
Go for it.
No. I don't want to do that myself.
Tracy, go. You would like it to be done, but you don't necessarily want to do it. Yeah, no.
I think it's kind of
I would like
it
to all contribute.
It is a little bit hard.
Right, exactly.
Because you're pulling from things like spirituality to
witchcraft,
you know, magic to any of these kind of topics that
that's
really
why
encompasses a lot.
I'm gonna outsource to Britannica.
Really encompasses a lot.
Definitions.
All right, sorry to interrupt whatever you may be watching or listening to, whatever topic we're covering right now, but we absolutely have to take a moment to talk about and thank our friend Josh's better half and the longtime sponsor and supporter of the Black Tower podcast. Of course, this is the Crystal Barista. Whether you seek crystals and minerals and the like for their cleansing, healing, and positive vibes, or you just enjoy them and think they look pretty neat, you can find anything you could possibly want with crystals and minerals here at crystalbarista.com. With everything from individual pieces that can be ordered to monthly subscription boxes, there is something here for absolutely everyone, for every occasion, for whatever you could possibly want. There's no way you can't find something that you would like in her store. On the website crystalbarista.com, you can browse by different categories, including the subscription boxes, minerals and fossils, crystal healing, stone jewelry, all the way to just the raw slabs of whatever may be being sold. And if you're more budget conscious and you want to look at anything that is limited by price, you can look for anything that is from zero to almost $25, $25 to $50, and then anything that may be over $50. Now, if you are a rock hound and you want to get some really good tools to help you in your hounding, the Crystal Barista provides those as well. And you can find those on the same website. It's a very user-friendly website. You can find absolutely anything you need for your rock hounding, mineral, crystal, fossil needs. Now, going through the website, you can also find links to the Crystal Barista's Twitter, the Crystal Barista's Facebook, as well as the Crystal Barista's Instagram, and a couple other things. Make sure you go and follow the Crystal Barista on Twitter at RockPick, RockPick, to get updates as they come out and to be up to date on what exactly is going on with the Crystal Barista. She does like to throw up things on Twitter that may be available for you to get at slightly cheaper prices, but more commonly, you can find that over on the Crystal Barista Facebook. So again, same name on Facebook, RockPick, and you'll be looking for the page that says Crystal Barista, formerly Rock Pick Legend Company. Facebook is a good place for updates for the Crystal Barista. And if you just like to look at pictures and kind of see everything that's going on mixed in with some updates, hit up the Crystal Barista on Instagram. You can find her at the Crystal Barista. Again, that's barista with one R, B-A-R-I-S-T-A, which I think is the only way to spell it. But we all know how much trouble I have with spelling. So make sure you go over and check out what the Crystal Barista has to offer and tell her that the Black Tower podcast sent you.
Yeah, I like it.
So occultism talks about various theories and practices involving a belief in and knowledge or use of supernatural forces or beings. Such beliefs or practices that are principally magical or divinatory have occurred throughout all human societies throughout recorded history. The West, the term occultism has acquired an intellectually and morally pejorative overtones that do not, they're not the same in other societies where the practice and beliefs concerned do not run counter to the prevailing worldview. These practices tend to center on the presumed ability of the practitioner to manipulate natural laws for their own or their client's benefit. Such practices tend to be regarded as evil only when they also involve the breaking of moral laws. And again, that's more of a kind of westernized view of occult practices. Excuse me. Thank you, Voodoo Ranger Imperial Ale, for exercising your imperial authority over my capacity for bourbon.
I need to be my gastroengine.
So some anthropologists have argued that it's not possible to make a clear-cut distinction between magic, which is a principal component of occultism, and religion. And this may be well true of religious systems of some non-literate societies. I don't like the phrase non-literate societies because of the negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But
I don't think
don't,
you have to
I,
take
I would
it.
Agree with that.
I'm just a messenger. Go talk to Britannica.com.
No. What I was actually going to say is, what I was going to say is sometimes it is difficult to define something as exactly what it is. Like, absolutely. Not every culture has a literate culture, and that's totally fine if that's what they are. So they have a different way of keeping their records. They probably still maintain oral traditions, and that's super cool.
So it's like the literal definition of non-literate versus the negative connotation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Andrew hit the nail on the head with, I don't like that phrase, not because it's incorrect.
Yes, yes.
But because it makes me feel a certain way based on connotations along the lines of lesser than, which is not really true.
Right. Yeah.
It's the denotative versus the connotative.
Yes.
I just wanted give it a little academic spin and be like, it's cool to take it in a
literal
fashion.
Guys.
It is. Yeah. Please do take it in a literal
fashion. So this actually brings up a pretty good point, though, because in the Wheel of Time, we do have. So I would even talk about literacy when you talk about literacy is as having like tiers or levels, right? Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. are, okay. as a human race, more literate now than we were 100 years ago.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And it's because we can share ideas and we can share information instantly around the world. Institutions stopped
publishing books only in Latin that nobody spoke anymore.
Precisely. Yeah. So you
did that 100 really... years ago? Man, I
think it was exactly. a little further behind.
This is the 100 year anniversary.
I was thinking Gutenberg, but whatever, we're cool.
You know,
I mean, going.
It's but fine. No, it's interesting because, you know, you've got in the Wheel of Time, you've got a society of people. When we start out on the series, you get a society of people where you can have a village completely isolated for decades.
Yeah.
And nobody knows and nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen a tax collector in generations.
Towards the end of the series, now you've got gateways and now you've got instantaneous transferring of information.
Mm-hmm.
So I would even say that their literacy increases or advances as the story progresses.
Well, and Rand establishes those universities to bring people to like a central location for learning and working together, which is admirable. And it's weird that one didn't really exist before that. Like, what were they?
It's funny that stereotypically you talk like, so Rand is like country bumpkin, right?
Right. Yeah.
And it's the country bumpkin ruler that comes in and is like, I don't need to know how to read them their symbols on that their page. And, you know,
I sure wish I was herding sheep with my dad. Why?
But isn't that usually the people that don't have the most resources? Once they get it, they're like, yeah, this should be a
Everyone
thing.
Should have access.
Well,
And I will say that again, I'm actually not that surprised that in the world that they live in, that there isn't some centralized place for that, because they do live in a very hierarchical society.
Tarvalin.
Yes, that was exactly what I was thinking.
Are you kidding? Tarvalin is immediately like, no, you can't know the secrets. Stop it. Get out of here. You don't want
Age of Heroes Tarvalin versus...
Sorry, yes. Know. Age of Legends Tarvalin would you absolutely... Have
the sadly age-old historical fact of a... illiterate and uneducated people are far easier to rule and control than an educated and literate populace.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so I think that when it comes right down to it, this is one of those moments where I'm going to be hard on the Aes Sedai, but also understand.
Go for it.
Because when it comes right down to it, Aes Sedai are insanely distrustful. And they want to be as manipulative as possible because that's wherein their power lies. And so again, I get that not teaching the whole world all of their secrets and all of their knowledge and all of their history and everybody how to read and everything.
They don't even
like that.
Teach, I mean, they don't even teach the other Ajahs their secret weave.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's already
all right,
there's
then.
So
keep
much
your secrets.
Distrust in the White Tower. And so it's one of those things where like I'm not surprised that the Aes Sedai definitely don't want to set something like that up, even though again it is a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But it is
also
understandable. Well, and then of course when you start going out to major cities and the ruling class there, we just talked about the fact that you want commoners to be commoners. If you have the resources to teach your children how to read, you want to keep it for you, because the second that the commoners and the peasants start to rise up, then you get situations they're no longer peasants and they don't do exactly what you tell them to the time because you're my lord.
Quite essentially medieval society, right?
Exactly.
The lords and the governors, we need people to grow crops. Well,
the caste
how do we
system.
Make sure we keep people growing crops? Well, if that's all they know how to do, then that's all they will do because that's all they can do.
Which,
and so
you know,
you don't distribute, you know, in like our society or our world, real world times, you don't distribute copies of the Bible in with the common language of where you live. You keep it in Latin that most people, except for the nobles and the priests and stuff, can't or don't read.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, it's really interesting too, because this actually fosters an environment in which organizations like the cult have the ability to grow. It's a very fertile environment for organizations like the occult, which is why, you know, in the books, there's a dark friend at every freaking turn.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know,
even when it's not an actual dark friend, if you're a white cloak, everyone's a dark friend.
Yeah,
a
I
dark
was gonna friend. Say.
Yeah.
And this is, I think when we're talking about the occult, like the first thing that my mind goes to is the Children of the Light.
Same.
And this is just
are, surprise, surprise.
Well, they are just, kind of culty, though.
Well
they're entirely culty.
They're
it's just a question of whether they are the occulty.
Yes. It's also there, like, one of the things that I really like about Robert Jordan is how often things are historically based when you're looking for it. And I think when we did our White Cloak episode, we were talking about how they're a cross between Crusaders and the Templars. Yeah, like there's a very, even down to like what they wear, it's like,
oh yeah,
you know those things, it's blazingly obvious. But it's also obviously oh I'm funny and I don't even know it.
Just take credit for it, just be like, yeah,
man. I did I'm funny without knowing it. That's awesome.
Make all the puns anyway, and then claim credit after.
I will regardless. Yeah, no, what I'm saying is that, like, something. I lost my train of thought.
I'm totally there with
this
you.
This is why you're still on the road. We keep losing the
path. I know. This is, I'm the one that slows Amber down all the time.
She's, guys, look, there's a cute bunny in that field. God,
damn it. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, with the White Cloaks, I think their only main group that's powerful enough to actually do any damage is Tar Valon. Mm-hmm. So they are laser focused on the White Tower as one, but secondly, they kind of fall into this weird, almost religious type group, even though
there really isn't an established religion that they fall into. It's the It's that book, The Way of the Light.
Yeah, I was going to say that that's my favorite part about the White Cloaks, mm-hmm. is that it starts on the idea of following the creator.
Right.
With, mm-hmm. you know, represented by the sun, mm-hmm. this, you know, blazing light of truth, this, you know, amazing beacon of hope, blah, blah, blah. But then it's not actually that. And I don't necessarily want to call out any real world religions, but again, when you start going ahead and following a doctrine by one single entity, mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. telling you entirely how to live your life, mm-hmm. and maybe came to America after he died in, or and you know, your savior maybe came to America after he died in Israel and whatnot, then maybe like you're not doing it right.
That's a very watered down definition of that religion. Maybe. Since that's not what we're talking about, maybe. I'm not going to delve into that. So, like, the White Cloaks very much fit into that divinatory aspect of occultism, right?
Yes.
Because it's all the same way that pharaohs ruled, that kings ruled in England.
Yep.
It was all divine providence, you know, that
the
divine.
They are on a lifelong witch hunt.
Look at the names they use. Oh, where we try everybody is known as the Dome of Truth. We are the Children of the Light. Everything is orchestrated in a way to implicitly make you think that this is correct, this is just, mm-hmm. this is right. Mm-hmm. And it's only once you experience their actions where you start to question it. And generally, by the time you're experiencing their actions, you're either experiencing rule by fear or death by blood loss.
I was actually thinking rule by fear, like in particular, the White Cloak. That's just what they do. They intimidate and they make people afraid of them. And if they can't do it, they pass them over to the questioners. And good Lord, no thank you.
Well, this is mainly what the church did in the Holy Roman Empire.
Exactly, exactly. This is
very common.
It is. Well, and like, I actually...
It's sadly and embarrassingly common, but most people couldn't read. So
yes.
Oh, it's super human nature to sort of have people who fall to this particular thing of the incredibly self-righteous, my way or the highway to the nth degree. And, you know, damn anyone who won't actually follow that way. I have the power to either change you or eliminate you. And if you won't do it yourself, I will exercise that power to change or eliminate you.
This actually brings up, Josh. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, this actually brings up a really good kind of a point of where the Children of the Light, because it's another example of an organization who went, men channel bad, break world. We don't like channeling. Channeling is now touched by the Dark One and therefore bad. We will be the Children of the Light and do good and make sure that nobody falls under that again.
Except okay, they never whatever. Made the male distinction.
Exactly.
Yes, but I think it's implicit in some ways. Like, I don't think that...
The breaking of the world was such a huge deal for every society that...
Absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of...
Yeah, but where at the time, all of everybody this, was
where they lose their way.
So they blame all Aes Sedai, not just male Aes Sedai.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and where they lose their point. Way is they stop saying, you've done an evil in the name of the Dark One. And they start saying, you've done an evil, therefore you're a dark friend.
Yes.
And it's not always that cut and dry. I mean, for instance,
it's rarely that cut and dry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like anyone who can touch the source shouldn't do it unless you're the creator. Like,
by the time the books,
the books
pick up, they don't even say you've done an evil.
It's
you don't agree with us. Therefore, you are evil.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it is our religious and righteous obligation to exterminate you or convert you.
Because they're very quick to say
no one is so far lost to the shadow they can't be brought to the light. And then bringing you to the light is the gleam of their sword as they stab you in the back.
I was going to say, bastards. I feel like there are a number of roads that they went down there. Originally, it was, okay, cool. The breaking was this horrible, terrible, traumatic experience for everyone in the world. And it was caused by channeling. Okay, cool. Well, that means that no one should be allowed to channel anymore. If you touch the source, you are breaking the rules because the creator is the only one who should actually use magic. People should not be trusted with
it. You mean you can't pray the channeling away?
Ouch. But then, you know, it goes again, it goes a step further than that, because I'm sure that it started with channeling and, you know, anything else that was touched by the Dark One.
All then I can think of is Rand going, down, I promise I won't do it. I won't channel anymore. And they're like,
yeah, right.
Bro.
No one believes that.
I made myself sad.
Do we need to give you some electroshock therapy, Rand? So then you get the step down from that, which is just the, okay, well, what things are actually defined as evil? What things are actually related to the Dark One? This, 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 and this. Great. Okay, those are the commandments that people aren't allowed to break. Then you go a step further, which is, oh, I am a White Cloak. Therefore, I get to decide what those rules are in the moment. And if you do anything that pisses me off, now you're a dark friend.
And now, not to mention, they just kind of steamroll. They kind of just steamroll themselves throughout cities and try and plant their flag wherever they can. So they've got something in this. You know what I mean?
It's very antagonistic. And they do that on purpose. Yeah,
it's a messiah complex. The entirety of the White Cloaks that we see in the series until, and I mean, not, it's not cut and dry line. It's like a jagged line that's getting better. But when Gallat takes over, is entirely based off messiah complex. We are here to save the world. Only we can save the world. No one else knows what I know. We're the greatest organization. Only we can fix it wrong. Nobody fixes like we fix. And they're fucking wrong.
You're gonna get so tired of fixing. You're gonna get. We're gonna fix so much. You're gonna get tired of fixing.
Yes.
And the Sean Chan are gonna pay for it.
Speaking of the Sean Chan,
I made an allusion to somebody, but I made an allusion to somebody.
That's a good switch.
Yeah, I feel like...
Switch? Am I on bottom?
Yeah.
Sorry, involuntary response.
No, I just think that... I just
don't even know how to respond to that when you follow it up. Involuntary response. I'm finished.
There
I'm
are
finished.
Things that come out of Andrew's mouth that you just want to go ahead. And
I don't. I'm good. I'm good. Amber, please.
Well, with the Shan Chen. I feel like they're probably one of the most like occult societies within time because they have doomsayer. They have their own prophecies and their own superstitions of things that, and it's kind of one of these situations where since we don't really get a lot of them right in the beginning, so it kind of like creeps up on you. But as soon as we get to know Tuan and she'll, what is it? If you see, you know, this animal doing this, it's a bad omen.
You have to,
Mm-hmm.
That's another great example of divinatory.
You have to do the hand drive? What?
Yes.
Vogue.
That too. Either
yes, you have to Vogue.
If you see a fox and it's raiding a hen house, you must Vogue.
Yes.
And if it's running away from a hen house, you must hand drive. And if it's a flock divinatory. Of ravens raiding a hen house, then you need to throw salt over your left shoulder.
Yeah, but theirs is divinatory as well because it's all a perception that these omens are divine signs of the future and only those that pay attention and are worthy and are knowledgeable enough will know what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and of course, I have to admit that that is also goes back a little bit to the who are the people that we see actually sort of paying attention to those signs.
Oh, you mean
doing
the educated
those rituals
and wealthy?
And whatnot. The educated and the wealthy. It's the blood.
It's almost like we've seen this before.
I feel like, I mean, again, we don't actually get that much information about the day-to-day lives of Shan Chen, you know, lowest caste. But it definitely feels like most of them just run around being like, cool, sheep, cool, hay. Cool, you know, whatever it is that I'm growing or raising or whatever. And these signs are totally, I don't even know most of them. And the ones that I do know, I don't give a shit about because they're not for me. They're for the
one. You've never watched DBZ or Bridge, right, Daniel?
No, I haven't.
Josh, I know you have. Amber Tracy, I don't know if you have.
Dragon
Ball Z or Bridge parody. If you never watched Dragon Ball Z, you probably never. Anyway, there's a section where there's a planet that everybody there has some affinity for being able to see the future. And there's an episode where they're making fun kind of that ability and of the series where you just see the planet from space and all you hear is all these voices shouting out things that are going to happen in the future. Like, Goku becomes a Super Saiyan. Gohan's the strongest in the universe, but he never fucking trains. What's make me think of is like all these people shouting out these prophetic things. And I mean, I have an inherent problem with foretelling and or not in the series foretelling, but the ideas of it.
Yeah.
Because if you're super vague, like there's going to be an earthquake today. Yeah. There's like hundreds every day.
The thing that I hate.
Is there
love.
Anyone in the audience who has a loved one whose name starts with F?
I'm feeling the letter D or.
Oh, yeah, I bet you are feeling the letter
E-F-G-H,
D.
EFGH, I just feel it in a P.
Dang.
Ah, yes.
I wish my
sorry, involuntary response.
I'm never going to live that one down.
One of the things that I actually do love when it comes to the Shan Chen, one of the very few things, is I love that Tuan looks at Matt like he's a total idiot. When he's like, oh yeah, ravens and mice spy for the Dark One.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, bro.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Rats,
oh my
bro.
God.
Mice are
stupid,
fun.
Are
you? Rats. Rats.
Trollocs bro. Are real. So are.
Yeah.
Rural.
Yeah. And then like... she's like, oh God, a spider just scurried across the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, don't put your hat on the table. Okay.
Protect me. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that but seems again, about it's right.
Your it, rituals and the your you know knowledge and whatnot is what you know and what you avoid and whatnot. Ooh. And you know, mm-hmm. when she finds out about all of these Andorian or Randlandian or whatever, you know, suspicions and whatnot, she's like, those sound super stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But did you see the way that those sticks fell yesterday when that washerwoman dropped them? Because that was ridiculous.
That was That's one true. Lit omen.
Mm-hmm. I think you're hitting on a really good topic here in general, is just when you look at all of the rituals in general within the mm-hmm. Wheel of Time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are very, they feel very occult to me. Mm-hmm. The first sister ritual, like, that's crazy, yeah. right?
Well, and that's one of the, that's it is. One of the very it is. Special Bonding. Ones. That's one of the really special ones in some ways. Because again, you know, at the beginning of this, I do think that, you know, the one power really kind of doesn't fit in the definition of a cult within the Wheel of Time.
No,
if
it's
not by
just like it's like flipping on a light switch. Anybody, you know.
Exactly. But the idea of like bonding warders, as you said, the idea of or the ritual of making, you know, people first sisters and whatnot, that really does feel very much
the ritual like of it, bearing your chest in the hall.
Even though it uses,
because Mask of Mirrors and Sidene doesn't exist,
right?
no, and but then, well, they didn't know about it at that point in time. So.
Oh yeah, of course they didn't. But
and so these bonding rituals and whatnot do use the one power, but it's this weird, like off kilter, out yes. of left field use of it that like is very direct on people, leaves a lasting impression. Like a lasting yes. thing, mm-hmm. you know, all of this different stuff that I would totally, that I, yeah, that one that, feels super
kind of,
yes,
that kind of brings up a good point as well. When you start talking about how cultish the White Tower is,
mm-hmm.
because we kind of touched briefly on it about the different Ajahs have secrets from each other. They play each other. They manipulate others. But probably the biggest thing that's like occultish to me is how ritualistically they restrict themselves from exploration and learning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Nynaeve comes in and she's like, guys, check it out, I can do healing with all of the weaves, and they're, and then they go, no,
you
can't. Use water.
You think you can do these things, but you can't. Nemo.
You don't ever use fire and earth. Never, never, never. And she's like, I just healed Stilling.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like,
Avatar
what?
The Last Airbender showed us there was only water and spirit.
That's right. Yeah. So it's like, so you know, and when Elaine wants to study Terangreal, and they're mm-hmm. like, oh hell no.
Yeah.
Oh hell.
Danger.
No.
Danger.
Yeah. So and, danger will and it's not just and they don't just say, they don't say, look, it's very dangerous. You know, even experienced sisters are very, you know, what they do is they say, no, you can't. Period. And they have this BS reasoning of,
wait, but Dad,
we don't
what?
Have enough Aes Sedai as it is.
Because we said
and
so.
You can't be careless with your life.
I and think that like, in some ways that is a valid faulty. Point.
No, it is.
I think it's fair.
Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to protect people, at the same time, it also limits what you can do.
Yes.
But when you have like these
and how much you can learn.
Yeah. When you have these horrendous stories of like sisters, yeah. What is it? The one that she gets stuck in the chair of something or another for like 10 days.
Oh my God.
And she just like spends those 10 days screaming
in
and yelling
agony.
And no one can stop it from happening. So when Terangreals have that kind of potential result,
well, and,
be worried.
And I was gonna say, that one right there is one of the most legit to me, because again, there are these like, okay, we don't find them very often, but every once in a while we find mm-hmm. Terangreal from the Age of Legends. And sometimes we figure out what it
kind of sort of what it might should have done.
Yeah. But other times we're like, cool, so this does this thing, probably. I mean, like, the last five people that touched it, they said that it did this. So I guess maybe we'll use it for that. But then again, you have the horror stories of, all right, so we sent a like whole platoon of sisters through this this archway, and one of them came out and she was burned out of the power and screaming her, you know, face off. None of the rest of them came back. But you know, see, this one of the sisters sat in this chair and she spent the next 10 days screaming her head off and whatnot. You're like, okay, I know that there are a lot of Terran Greal out there that do awesome things and we want that stuff for us. Mm-hmm. But also,
how did they learn about the three rings then for testing?
That's where you have to look
another,
at things.
Like, another one of those rituals, right? Another one of those crazy rituals.
Yeah, they have to look at things like, what is the reason and rationale behind what you're doing? So
yes,
are you doing things out of a cultist belief that this is either some kind of, because we know from like our present day that any sufficiently advanced technology looks like magic to us. So
there's no
explanation behind it. There's no understanding behind how it works. So for the Aes Sedai and the Ashaman, there's, however limited it may be, there's an understanding for kind of what makes these things tick to some degree. So for them, these Terran Greal that do things, they don't understand how at all. These are, to them, magical beyond the one power because they don't know how they were made. And they might understand the fuel that makes them run, but they don't understand how you put it's together a very the good engine. Point.
Yes.
So then out of pure and utter fear, they say, well, no, just don't touch them. We'll collect them. We'll keep them here. And, you know, throughout history, that's always proven to be the safest thing for us to do. And they don't ever entertain the possibility of, let's take the ones that we know that are safe.
Mm-hmm. I would and like
somebody
to
see that have a talent for figuring out what these things can do. Let's see if they can look at these ones we know are safe and accurately say, it does this, it does this, it does this, it's safe. And if they are safe, then they're the ones that make up this. In your times of trying need, you can call an elite team of Aes Sedai to test your Terran Greal. Is it safe?
These
is
are
it
their
bad?
Stories.
Call on the ballsy team.
That's right.
Well, and that's actually one of the most more interesting parts of that particular thing is if you find an Aes Sedai that has any real sort of talent to go ahead and figure out what Terran Greal do, that's kind of what they're good at, and that's what you should set them to be doing. But also, that's one of your most valuable Aes Sedai. Are you going to go ahead and just throw things at them and be like, hey, figure this one out. Hey, figure this.
Yeah.
Because when that one gets completely burned out of the power, you're like, all right, cool. And now we have to wait another generation to find an Aes Sedai who can figure out Terran Greal.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, then you get into the moral argument, is avoiding the gaining of knowledge the right thing to do out of fear of losing things? Because that's the same thing. If that was the case, then the Large Hadron Collider would have never been a thing. Because it was heavily protested all the way through that, hey, you're going to collide two particles. It's going to create a black hole.
All nuclear energy plants. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I just finished watching a story today of America's first and thus far only nuclear meltdown.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, the three people.
To be fair. Sorry.
The three people they had working on it should not have been working on it.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, you know, it's the military and you bang it with a wrench until it works. But I mean, there's so much that's gained from that. And that is,
I'm sorry, that's military thing? I thought that was just everyone.
I mean, it's mostly everyone. I mean, especially construction workers, military.
Yeah.
Just bang on it till it works. It'll be fine.
Anyone with a computer.
Only 30 things. Hey, don't fucking bang on your computer and ask me to fix it. But, I mean, that's the history of human ingenuity, right? Is having somebody that is willing to weigh the value of the knowledge over the value of their safety. And that's where you get things like coal burning engines, nuclear power, flight, all those kind of things. And it just depends, like, for the Aes Sedai, where do you draw the line? Do you stifle your ability to learn so much because of a tradition of don't do this or you'll die? Or do you embrace that, hey, there actually can be people that can figure this stuff out, and you facilitate that and use that and do everything you can to make it as safe as possible?
Yeah.
I really like the distinction within the Wheel of Time that we have channelers, and this is almost, oh, I'm spotty. I think I'm spotty, but I might be. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Us. So we have like this established magic where channeling, it's almost commonplace. But then when you bring in some of the other things like Elias or the Wolf Brother situation, this is kind of going into this weird old magic where you've got something on a totally different scale where it's so uncommon that Perrin is scared to death of having these powers. Granted, it would be scary to be a male channeler, but
I mean, you even see that even with the gift of, you know, the gift of being able to speak to wolves, there are issues with that as well. As we see with, what is it, Gnome, I think was the dude's name.
Yeah.
And he completely gave over to the wolf. Like he was like, I'm not a human anymore. I'm just a wolf. Leave me alone. And
bark, bark, motherfucker.
Yeah, and so, and then you see Elias, who's just kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to go that far into it. I'm a man, and I like being a man, such to the point that I'll talk to wolves, I'll hunt with wolves, I'll live with wolves, but I'm a man. I'm not going to go into the wolf dream. And he kind of takes the other extreme. And then, you know, you've got Perrin, who's over there going, oh, well, what do I do?
That's weird.
But like, it's because there's virtually no knowledge about it. It's just, so it's just, you know, what do you do?
Yep.
Noam just says he's a wolf before he's a man.
Yeah.
The wolf dream in itself is almost an occult theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like the same as like Teleron Riode, because it's almost like this weird, like astral projection weirdness. Do you know what I'm saying? Where your soul has kind of like, is your soul connected? Are we crossing into another realm? Are you in two places at once? And this is a very occult theme.
Well, and of course, I love that one in some ways the most, because there's definitely like Wolf Brothers who we just don't have that much information about, to be completely honest. There are three of them in the series. One of them we get information on, but it is still very much an enigma, Elias. Perrin, we actually see like a good deal of what he's going through, but he's also, you know, a toddler as far as Wolf Brother goes for the vast majority of the series. And then we have Gnome, who's just like, all right, by the time we get to him, he gone.
Yeah, we don't really know his backstory at all.
He went full Bork Bork. He never got full Bork Bork.
He did.
And so, you know, we have these three different examples, but we have so little information on it. And while it's awesome, and I actually really love the idea of it, and, you know, in some ways I do like the fact that we don't get as much information as I'd want, and there's definitely a lot of mystery left there around it, it seems like this, you know, very, very special thing that has nothing to do with anything else in the world.
Absolutely.
And then you have Teleron Riode, which most of the time is entered and exited by people who can channel, seemingly because they can channel. But at the same time, you also have these like flashes of people who enter and exit that can't touch the source at all and are just showing up because they stumbled into Teleron Riode at some point.
Yes.
And then you have Perrin, who's running around Teleron Riode
like a madman.
God. Like,
it's just a wee. Like, yeah.
panel at all. Hopper just showed me how to fire? Do this.
I had to tell. I was talking to Tracy the other day, and we just moved in here, and we haven't had internet. So I downloaded a bunch of movies to watch, and The Matrix was one of them. And I'm watching it, and Morpheus is explaining to Neo, like, you can basically stop, you know, anything you want and do whatever you want while you're in the Matrix. I'm like, oh my God, is Morpheus Perrin?
Yeah, it's just a weave.
And he just taught. Yeah, he just taught him. It's just a
though
weave.
I will admit, I think it's funny that Morpheus wouldn't actually be Perrin. I feel like Morpheus would be Egwene.
No,
like Morpheus would be Hobbit. No, Morpheus would be Egwene because he knows way more about Teleran Riad. Has learned a lot of the rules of Teleran Riad, and then Neo shows up and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I think I know Kung Fu. I'll try to hit you, blah, blah, blah. But then at the end of the movie, when he's like, bullets just stop, that's when he's just like, it's just a weave, Morpheus. It's just a
weave. I love it.
I like it. I really like that. That's excellent.
I think we've covered a lot of like cultures and rules and things like that. I think really where we sort of start to traverse into the cult or the occult is where you stop having a culture of people that are like, this is the way we do things because this is the way it is. And we start doing things like, you can't do that. Like, does that make sense? We start to limit what people can do based on the rules and traditions that we have set.
Are you thinking of literal like cults?
The occult stems from the idea of what a cult is.
I actually kind of wrote something down about this that I think connects with what you're saying, it's how much... I wrote down how much of this is held up by tradition. So, like, for example, when the Spanish Inquisition happens, like, in the real world, at the Wheel of Time world, it's dictated, and I don't know if they had a Spanish Inquisition. I feel like the White Cloaks were just always on go. They're not the White Cloaks, but they are. But anyway, what I think of is how
one expects
was
the
like,
White Cloak Inquisition.
How they have this focus on one thing, and it's almost like when Egwene meets Moraine and when Nynaeve finds out that she can channel, Egwene is like, hooray, I can become an Aes Sedai, and Nynaeve is like, I'm a filthy dark friend, you know. Like, there's, but it's the tradition that she's brought up in that, like, that boxes us in. And it's the same thing with traditions that have passed through centuries. Like, this is how the world is. You adapt to it. And if you do not, you are generally ostracized. So, like, I think what you were talking about is, like, what is a society's standard of morals? What are the traditions that hold people in place? And, like, the occult has these exterior feelings to them. They're the people who are different. They're the people who like feel connected in a way to the world that other people just don't. I mean, I'm sure that's like a very broad and probably mostly incorrect assessment, but that's what I'm going to throw out there.
One thing that I want to add to that, which I think is also kind of important, is that typically what we have viewed as the occult in history throughout the world is traditions that come from a minority that are not understood by the majority and then demonized by the majority, like voodoo, for example. 99.9% of voodoo practitioners are doing nothing that actually hurts anyone else. But there are a few who have gone ahead and done things that have made it very, very not okay to say that you practice this particular tradition.
Are you speaking for yourself?
No.
it largely depends on region. If you go down to New Orleans, and it's very common to publicly find voodoo practitioners, and it's not a taboo.
Mm-hmm. But and when you start
if you live in the backwoods of South Carolina with a Christian tradition and you mention the word voodoo, everybody starts bringing out their crosses and hissing.
Well, and I was going to say that it also very much, again, when you have a situation where those traditions are the majority, then it's not really viewed as a cult.
Right.
Right. Now, well, I'm with Christianity, you're drinking the blood of Christ and eating the body of Christ.
Yeah, it's Catholicism.
But if you're a majority, it doesn't sound weird, right?
Yeah. It's what everybody does.
Yeah,
it still should sound weird.
It should. Maybe that's why it was in Latin. They didn't want to freak anybody out.
There you go.
It's even deeper than that, because then you have people that believe that you're literally doing it, and you have the people that believe it's a symbolic ritual. But that gets into the ritualistic nature of the occult. We see things like we mentioned earlier in the series that are very ritualistic in nature. The conversion, the unwilling conversion of somebody to the shadow by a circle of 13, that kind of stuff. Compulsion. A lot of the compulsion too.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine.
I don't want to derail anyone, but yeah,
I don't think the turning works the same way as compulsion.
No, it doesn't.
But I mean, like, the things that can happen because you are using something in a questionable way. So, like, being able to use the power to turn someone to the dark side. This is not Star Wars. Turn someone over to the time. I know, right? Turn someone over to
the dark one.
Dark one. Sure, we'll do that.
It could be Star Wars.
It could be. It'd be a really fun mashup.
Well, no, Tracy.
No, this is a really good point, Tracy, because when the White Tower is first introduced, they're kind of shown in a better light than they really are.
Yeah.
So you've got the White Tower, and then they're like, oh, you have to go hunt the Black Aja, and these are the bad guys. So you're kind of looking at the situation with like good magic versus dark magic, if that makes sense. And
yeah, compulsion, it's the intention.
Compulsion is one of those weaves that it's like, that's dark magic. It's not allowed. We don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those.
I actually agree with that one, because while they do call them the Black Aja, and they definitely are called the Black Aja because they serve evil.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's more of just a lawful thing than an actual good or evil thing. Because again, in the real world, I mean, there
but black
as well, as far as like, okay, you're capable of doing this, but don't, because taking away people's free will is not what we do. I think that in that case, compulsion is just magic. It's just one of those things where it's like, sure, you can do this, but don't, because fuck you.
That's like the same connotation evil. With, you know, what's good magic and what's black magic. It's just,
In the Wheel of Time, I think there is actually a distinction, because the one power is a source that is sort of created in life, presumably by the creator. And is sort of the font of magic for everyone to use that people have access to. Yet there's also the true source that they talk about that comes directly from the Dark One.
That's a falsity. It is the true source through the Dark One that is inherently bad. Because the true source is the power that actually turns the Wheel of Time.
Can you access the true source without going through the Dark One?
If the creator was as active in his world as the Dark One was, sure.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well,
so
do we see the creator as like an absent parent? Like
the Dark One is like a massive, like beyond Saw Angreal.
I want to say that my point in some ways still stands,
but
even though you are that
the semantics of it are different.
The semantics are absolutely different.
Yeah, but
I think that that's kind
of but black magic is just magic used for evil. Like,
but I but it's used, dark magic. In this one, it's used
sounds more sinister.
Evil, yeah, yeah.
Rather than just for evil.
Well, I mean, it's like anything.
If that makes sense.
I have a fork. I can use this fork for really good things.
For good, like eating, or I can use this fork for bad.
I can give over to the shadow, and I can stab people in the face. I mean,
or stabbing some bitches.
Darth fork.
All that is,
but yeah, that doesn't.
All that is available is a pool of magic. It's the nature of how the person uses it that makes it
exactly.
Good or bad.
Exactly.
And there are practices like compulsion that are morally accepted as dark magic, as forcing somebody to do things against their will.
Well, I just kind of wanted to bring that back to like real world occultism, you know, where like when witches are
you mean strong, educated women?
Are we drinking straight from the bottle tonight, Tracy?
I think she is. I think
should be.
She has a little glass.
Okay, Tracy. No,
champagne, Tracy.
It's super Tracy. Pretty.
Yeah, careful. Remember what happened last time, okay?
So exactly. Classy. Why do you think I have a tiny, tiny glass?
She's got a thimble of wine.
It is tiny, intentionally.
It's
that
so
doesn't
pretty,
mean this
though.
Might not be empty. Thank you.
See, I try to make mine blend into the background, so you can't even tell that I'm drinking. Just
I got the Kona Golden Ale.
I
one
know
of
the,
my
Daniel, see, Daniel's horn is just amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
So Andrew and Josh and I actually each have one of these that were given to us by Andrew.
That's so cool.
As a
those are really
1 year and or actually a 2 year anniversary.
I use mine every morning to take my medication with.
That's so funny. I love it.
Like a
that would
Viking.
Be me. Yeah.
Oh,
I take
got
my,
to
I'm
going to
nip this arthritis in the bud like a badass.
Not quite that old. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. The funniest part about that.
Hey, arthritis can be any age, okay?
This is true.
That's true.
Arthritis is just a number.
Hey, I'm not that old.
I legitimately think that Andrew is the youngest person on screen right now.
Are you? How old are can we do this? How old are you? Do we
27.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious.
I don't know how old Tracy and Amber are, and I'm not going to ask.
You can. Ask you can.
But I
don't have any issues with my age.
I am pretty sure that Andrew is the youngest person.
Andrew's youngest, and I'm going to guess that I'm probably the oldest.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
How old are you?
I turned 40 in March.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, see, Daniel and I knew the answer because we were there when he got shot in the back.
It's true. I got shot in the face with a confetti cannon.
Oh.
Oh, by the way.
All I heard is when you got shot in the face and I was like,
oh my God.
What happened?
Yeah, it was
did you
terrible.
Not know?
That's a Utah tradition. You turn 40.
Turn 40, you get shot in the face and then we hire the Kardashians plastic surgeon.
Not his... His cheek isn't like blown out like a balloon. It's definitely not the Kardashians.
My
no, the facial one, not the booty one.
I was gonna say, just looks like he has a big.
But just wait till
booty.
You see Josh in his yoga pants.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
It'll be once he shaves his legs.
It'll have to be. No, the food truck that came, they got a video of the confetti cannon moment, and I was able to see who shot me in the head with the confetti.
Ooh.
And they caught it on camera.
I don't
they're
think
never
it was
invited
me.
To your place again.
No, they're invited Jerks. Over every day. Josh was into that.
Joke's on you. I'm into that shit.
I like it.
But yeah, so I think that I'm going to bring up a new example of a cult, and you guys agree.
I thought you were
going to
say New Egg, and I was like, I don't like New Egg right now.
No,
the shuffle
I was
sucks
not
going to
go ahead and do that.
Fuck you and your graphics card shuffle, New Egg. I don't ever want to be sponsored by you.
I was going to say the, but Raid Shadow Legends, let us know.
No, oh, yeah. We post videos on YouTube.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Rage Shadow Legends.
The bubbles of evil, and specifically Hinderstap, I actually think are probably like the most occult, if you will, things in the series to me. Because I think that they are like basically an entity that is very supernatural.
Absolutely.
Very like sporadically inputting their will.
Just respawning?
Yes.
Every day.
Well, see, the bubbles of evil come and pass, but Hinderstaps is like.
Yes, that one's like a.
It's like a shadow dingleberry. It just doesn't go away. Somebody needs to go in with some scissors.
An accurate.
There you go.
Wow.
There's your mental image for the night.
Very visual.
In the age of lace, there lay many dingleberries. I regret everything I just said.
I regret everything you just said.
They have absolutely no control over the situation. They have like temporary insanity, but very aggressive. And then just wake up and have to know that it's going to keep going on over and over. This is something from a horror movie. And it's out there. And I love it.
Yeah.
And when they come back for the last battle.
Oh, my God. That part was so good.
Pays off so well.
Sorry. It really does.
I really can't wait for somebody to be at that part in the reread and be like, I just read the dingleberries again.
It will happen. It will happen.
I'm almost there, Andrew.
You can cleanse your taint as much as you want, but they just keep coming back.
That's true.
Get this man some wet wipes.
So there's really, like, is there...
there's really...
Hey, broke Josh again.
Josh. Poor Josh.
Nicely done, Amber. Nicely done. I don't think we've actually broken Josh this bad in a while.
In case you didn't know, if you manage to break all three of us at the same time, you get a special role in the Discord.
Oh, it's true. Yes, that's true. Oh.
Only one person has it, and that's Morshadi.
Get this man some wet wipes. All I could see was... T'Challa, get this man a shield and get this man some wet wipes.
Get this man a shield, get me my brown pants.
Yeah. What do we like? So,
it hurts.
So registered nerd in the live chat brought up Hinderstap potentially being terrifying. I think it's terrifying from an outside perspective. I think if you're in it at some point,
it just becomes common.
I don't want to say it's common, but like initially I think there would be a lot of just like the one-off time you wake up from being blackout drunk and you've got 47 missed calls, 16 voicemails, and there's a cop car outside and you're just like, fuck.
Well, Matt experiences they're somewhat like they're kind of in a like depressive state when he's you know going around and they're all just kind of like shuffling around and he's like, there's something not right, something's not right here.
Something's not right. Have been let's mended stay way here and figure out what times. It is
that that's what I was thinking, and like repairs on buildings and stuff seemed to be like happening pretty much everywhere as they were walking around.
It's a problem of living in an age without horror movies. Anybody that's watched horror movies would see that shit and be like, nope, gone,
not going in that basement.
So I will actually say that I think that there are actually three levels of that, again, for the people who are living through it, which is the initial of what the fuck keeps happening? I'm actually a little scared at this point because every day there's new stuff that's a mess and I don't know how it happened and I don't know how it got this way and all of that different stuff. And then there's the this is our life now.
Yeah.
This is incredibly depressing. And As Registered Nerd just said, I think she brings up a really good point that between, like, after the initial shock of, oh, I don't even know what's going on yet. Mm-hmm. Once you actually figure that out, now it's the, when is this going to stop?
Yeah.
Will it ever stop?
When is it that I'm going to wake up and everyone I murdered is going to be dead permanently? Mm-hmm. When is this going to stop that I'm not going to wake up because all of my neighbors' murders are going to stick permanently? You know, that kind of thing. And they haven't quite crossed over into the third one yet of the Bill Murray and Groundhog Day of, oh, this is never stopping. I can just literally do whatever I want. And it's just going to be forever. And there's some acceptance and, you know, sort of like contentment in some ways. I mean, like, it's a horrible contentment. I'm not saying that it's fully content, but there is still, you know, acceptance.
Like a we're dealing with it. Yeah.
With
the, like, this is just life now and let's make the best of it. We're not actually really scared about our murders and, you know, whatnot becoming permanent. Because if they are, I mean, we've lived through them so many times, death might actually even be a release. But, like, you know, until that point, I'm going to be as happy as I possibly can with the current bad situation because I'm kind of free.
The only critique I really have is when they wake up, they don't remember what happened. So nobody knows if they actually murdered anybody for sure or not.
See the destruction.
In their nightmares as well. They have they have the dreams.
Yeah. Which I take your point and I completely agree. I mean, there's definitely a certain amount of influence.
Well, the uncertainty they can make, is but terrifying. At the same,
yes, exactly. That's definitely still the, oh shit, what did I do? What if what I did becomes permanent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great way to solve problems with your neighbors whose cows keep, like, just grazing on your fields. Just be like, you know what?
Just that guy!
After wait tomorrow, until we'll tonight. Settled it.
I'll see you tonight, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think the dreams are more like flashes of anything. Yeah. Because the whole point of definitely their turmoil is that they as individuals are returned to the state they were when this curse started.
Yeah.
Less so of it's a new day every day. For them, it's, you do this and outside world continues on, but within the events may not be the same every night, but
That's a good one.
But if you're going to commit a murder, do it in Hendersnap, because in the next morning, they'll be alive and you can't be charged for a murder that didn't happen.
Immunity.
This freaking Dexter just shows up in Hendersnap.
Becomes the anger management capital of the world.
Place.
Matt shows up in his Hendersnap. Oh, I recognize you. Aren't you the ice truck killer?
Yeah, isn't this place great?
Oh, man.
Spoilers for Dexter.
I hope that after the last battle and the Dark One was sealed again, I really hope that those people were able to get some sleep. Damn. And we never do find out. Point.
They just wake up the next morning and there's like seven people that walk out like nothing, see dead bodies, and are like, okay.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, like, again, this is one of those moments that you kind of don't 100% want to think about, because all of those people from Hendersnap were kind of like fighting Trollocs with impunity.
Yeah,
right.
And I mean, if you have to be stuck in a Groundhog Day,
feels the boar back up and puts the Dark One to bed again, and that bubble of evil wears off, and all of those people don't wake up tomorrow. As they were fighting Trollocs with impunity. That's a little sad to think about in some way.
But if you do have to be stuck in a Groundhog Day, this one is like one of the better because it's very localized. You can still interact with the outside world. You still learn things that happen It seems everybody keeps their memories of what's going on in the trade and everything. So
yeah,
it's like a very localized private server edition of Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Which I do agree. They should release a Groundhog Day 2 and just re-release the original film.
Oh my God. That would be awesome. That would be, I would watch that. I would go to the theater and Me give too. It all of my money.
All of your Dogecoin money?
All of my Dogecoin, which I'm very happy right now, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, fuck off. Of course you are. Fuck off. I'm very happy with what I have, considering that I liquidated my assets and moved them into another asset.
I'm not liquid.
I didn't know we were dating.
Whoa!
I said what? Liquid date, and she said she's not liquid, so the only other part of that word is dating. I was very confused.
Sure, yeah, I don't know if your husband...
Still confused.
He just brought me a like off-screen magic rum and coke.
Yes. Thank you, Simon. You're so nice.
Yeah, see,
I know he can't hear. It doesn't matter. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
You know
what? I've been considering texting Andrew for a coffee.
Hey, Andrew. I feel like I might accept a husband if you just made me rum and cokes. Like, I'm not actually gay at
Come
all.
On up here, baby.
There he is. All right, think, cool.
I'll have to tell Simon.
I think Adrian would be okay with that, too. That's the weirdest part.
She'd be down for it. She'd be like, sweet. More the merrier.
That's why I'm excited for October of this year, because I'm hoping Adrian comes with you, and for once somebody can serve me drinks in North Carolina that I don't have to immediately complete a transaction for.
That's an awkward specific thing you're looking for.
Yeah.
I heard six different people, which is weird.
She is.
Oh yeah,
she was the mixologist who mixed up all of our Gathering Madness drink submissions.
That's really fun. Like
she that. Also came up with seven different shots.
Good lord!
Seven Aja shots,
and we only made it through like five of them because we had so many other drinks.
No, I can't.
At some point, she was just like, "All right, cool. Awesome. Here is the gray Aja, and that's the last one." And we were like. Cool, that sounds great. I don't know how we made it through summer, but that sounds awesome. And then the next morning, she was like, yeah, you didn't make it through seven. And I was like, that makes more sense.
And thank you.
Yeah. And thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
For sure.
My body is already mad at me so much because I ate a lot of hot sauce and drank a lot of alcohol. And it just got it that much worse.
Was it the fermented hot sauce, Josh?
It was not.
I don't think okay. we did the fermented
It was one. Not. It was, we did like, we did the hot ones the last
time.
Yeah,
we did a Taste the Taint challenge, which is our, you eat various hot sauces of various varieties.
Yeah, but now that you mention that, though, I should definitely make some for this October.
Yeah. Yes, you definitely, if we had homemade taint, I would put Josh's taint.
Hopefully we actually have them in the correct order. Joke's on you.
My taint is always homemade.
That's not surprising.
BTP OnlyFans.
BTP. Oh. This week.
You know what, guys? Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Always so much fun to have you guys here.
Thanks.
It is fantastic.
It's like coming home. Like,
yeah.
It is.
We kind
of. One of those situations where we sometimes get to like an hour and it's like depending on our topic and depending on whatever. I love these guys. Let me be very, very clear about that. But you get to it at the end of an hour and you're like, all right, I'm done. I can.
I'm out of here.
Sometimes we have topics that we just don't want to stop, and we're already at like 2 hours. And we're
Elaine, 5 episodes.
But then, you know, like, Road to Tarvalon joins us, and I'm like, can we just go for like 6 hours?
Can we just keep going? Can we just keep
still going? And still holding.
You know what? I would say yes, but I do have other things I have to do.
Yeah, I want to have dinner with my family.
See, I will throw
and
out
it's
there
like that, almost midnight for Amber.
That had someone not, you know, decided to do this as a complete surprise, the other two of us might have been able to clear our
clear out but what?
Dead.
Our schedules.
Oh, our schedules. Well, thank you for arranging
it. We're pushing it enough for Mother's Day
weekend. Oh, I know. I know. I mean, I don't know what you guys have on your end, but like for me, Mother's Day is like,
so
my family treats me really good all the time. So like a day, I'm not kidding. So a day where it's like for me, I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. My mom's birthday is like always within the week of Mother's Day. So
do you have to get her a double gift?
One
really big gift.
The deal I have with her is I either get her
last year there were 37.
All right, Dudley. The deal I have with her is that I will generally either get her 2 moderate to small gifts or 1 really big gift. And since I'm not going home to see mom this weekend, I'm going next weekend, she's getting the Mother's Day gift late, but her birthday gift early.
Aww.
And the gift notes I've attached is, sorry for being late for Mother's Day.
I am.
But gift. Hopefully being early for the birthday. Makes
he says that wearing a Chippendale shirt. So.
I also love how it's like an actual Chippendale shirt. It's not.
Josh, we figured out how to make up for how long it's taken to get your leg shaving video out. We'll do it in the style of a Chippendale's dancer video.
Ooh, I'll check that out.
We're ending off when we began.
Yeah, right? Chippendales, leg shaving.
Love it.
Utter ridiculousness.
Perfect. Full circle.
Thanks everyone for being here. Thanks everyone for listening and tuning in. Thanks for being awesome. Thanks Amber and Tracy for being here. You guys are awesome. If you want more information about the Black Tower, or you want some sweet merch like this here mug here, go to blacktowerpod.com, where our merch stores are hanging out, just waiting for you to come check them out. And Amber and Tracy, I believe you guys have a beautiful merch store as well. Where can the people find that?
Yeah, with the as Instagram quotes, you guys have a ton of super pretty designs.
They're awesome.
They're really
pretty.
Yeah,
they are. They're really cool.
It's, so
where can the people go if they want their own Road to Tarvalon?
Threadless?
Yeah, if you just
get what order it's in.
If you just Google Road to Tarvalon and Threadless, it'll show up.
There it is, right there.
Feels like a search I would have done in middle school. Like the Threadless part. I wouldn't have searched Road to Tarvalon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But there are some really great designs. Amber does the majority of our designs and they're just beautiful. And by majority, I mean all. You've done all of our designs. I love that. I just put colors in the background every once in a while. We'll write out like descriptions and tags occasionally, but it's like at least 90% Amber on our Threadless side. You do a great job.
Sure, it is in this order for all of the people listening. It is roadtotarvalon.threadless.com.
Thank you. Boom.
Thanks, Daniel.
That was so nice.
No, we did.
And they were also 100% correct. If you just Google Road to Tarvalon Threadless,
it's leave it on all searches, not images, you dirty bastards.
No.
That's right.
You can sit there and scroll through all of our fun designs. And I mean, really, like the stuff that we've gotten from there has been really nice. Like, I've been pretty happy with everything so far.
Nice. You know what we need to do?
The Pranksters and Pillow Friends is pretty sassy.
I like that one. That's on my list of like next things to get. I'm just not sure which one I want. I need more coffee mugs and more travel mugs because all
Tracy
of my
doesn't
pictures
need more coffee mugs.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I actually just bought one the other day and I should stop buying them. But for anybody who's a Bob's Burgers fan, does anybody nice watch Bob's Burgers?
How you doing?
Like, I just love this one. It's an acquired taste that I just acquired. It's the one where Tina like discovers espresso. I'm sorry, Bob's Burgers runs in our family, like in our house all the time. Yeah,
it
it's
runs
Arthur's
in
favorite
our family.
It's Arthur's
Burgers
favorite
just,
show.
Just runs in our veins.
You think I'm joking? You think
hit
I'm joking
me with that burger?
I'm well, pretty sure he watches daily.
Thanks for
anyway,
thanks for
getting a
about
version of your logo
Bob's
that
Burger
we can get put
podcast
on a frosty mug. Because I want to run to Tarvalon Frosty Mug.
Yes.
We, cool. You do need to get a Tarvalon Frosty
get
Mug.
That Frosty Mug money.
Okay. I mean, if you that's, insist.
That's at New Creations by Jen.
Everybody loves merchandise. And one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbyjen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbyjen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcast, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbyjen.com. I can only guarantee two sales.
I think I can handle that.
Me and Tracy?
Yeah.
I mean, if you include you two, then I can guarantee four.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe five. Maybe five with Daniel tossing in his hat.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to make it big, Amber, with support
we
like
it
this.
There you go.
All right, guys. All right. I'm going to go eat food. This was awesome.
Yeah, you go do that.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower Podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. Go and find, you can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
Thanks everyone for being here. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for being here, guys.
You guys are, we freaking love you guys. Keep doing what you're doing.
We love you too.
You guys too. Indeed.
And to everybody out there, who's here, who's not here, we thank you for listening. I have been Josh.
As
opposed to me being Andrew.
Okay.
Which you are.
Okay. I was just checking.
And as opposed to me being Daniel, which I am. And from all of us here at the Black Tower and on the road to Tarvalon. We hope having a lovely, lovely day. We hope that you're getting everything that you want this morning. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good
night.
Oh my god!